Welcome to the New and Living Way Church, Ikorodu, where we bring to you teachings inspired by the Spirit of the Living God for the work of salvation through His servant, Pastor Olaide Olaniyo. Be blessed as you listen.
According to His age, amen, God administers the giving of His things to undo the law, even in medicine. Are you understanding? When a person is sick and you have the cure, you administer medication gradually. Why? Because even though you have the cure, if you administer all of it, you can kill the virus and kill the person. So also, God does not give His things immediately. And His administration over the church was dispensed gradually. When Jesus was around, hallelujah, not all of His things was given like that. In fact, we did not see anything much more than the administration of Christ and the living Father. Hallelujah. Say amen. Say Christ and the living Father. Now, God is an eternal God. I'll show some scriptures. Now, Christ housed much more than that. But what was manifested to the saints was not much more than the administration of what? Christ and the living Father. The later administrations of God was abstracted, hidden, concealed. It could not be given because the church was not ripe enough. Hallelujah. So, from Matthew 16:16, where we saw, he said, who do men say, I, the Son of Man, am? He said, some say you are Elijah, some say you are the prophet, some say you're Jeremiah, some say you are Isaiah. And he said, okay, who do you say I am? Then he said, Peter retorted and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of who? The living God. Circle it. The Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood have not revealed these things to you, but my Father which is in heaven. In another place, John chapter 5, he said, as the living Father has life in himself. Are you understanding? As what? The living Father has life in himself. So as he given to the Son, as the living Father had sent him, and I live by the Father, so as he that eateth me shall what? Live by me. So he called the Father living Father. Hallelujah. Now we've been talking about the administration of Christ. Hallelujah. Say amen. We've been talking about the administration of Christ and how Christ births us to life. But there is a greater quantum of life in the Father. Amen. Because the Father cannot father the dead directly. There's an administration of Christ that is given to the church to raise a spiritual man. Hallelujah. There's an administration of Christ given to the church to raise a soul as a spiritual soul. One who can receive the trainings of a father. Hebrews chapter 12. Hallelujah. Now, the administration of Christ that comes to the church precipitates or prepares the ground for the dealing as a father. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And as the living, now the dealings of Christ culminates in the commandments of charity. Hallelujah. In Christ, like we have been teaching, you see the law of life, the covenant of life and peace, because all of the administrations have their covenants with them. Hallelujah. In the administration of Christ, there is the law of the Spirit of life that gives us the covenant of life and peace, and the law of Christ culminates. It's a giving of the dealing of faith, hope, and charity. Bible says that charity is the end of the commandment. Are you understanding it? Charity is the end of the commandment under the auspices of the dealing of Christ. So a man that will learn Christ will submit himself to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus and learn faith, hope, come to the dealings of charity, hallelujah, to be raised up as a spiritual son, or as one who in whom is written a covenant of life and peace, or to who has been given a new heart. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, it is those who have been so raised that comes under the tutelage of a father. They are born again. They are what? Born again. Now, this also is descriptive of our journey in the tabernacle. Our journey in the tabernacle from the outer courts, because the dealings of Christ begins in the outer courts through the dealings of milk. The milk administration of the word of God takes place in the holy place to sanctify us from sins of the flesh. Hallelujah. But it is not only sins of the flesh we have. We have filthinesses of the spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1. It says, therefore, having these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from every filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. Perfecting what? Holiness in the fear of God. Hallelujah. So, to come into perfection of holiness. Hallelujah. To come into perfection of holiness, they will raise us through the dealing of training of righteousness. First, the training of righteousness begins in the outer courts. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The training of what? Righteousness begins in the outer court, the altar of brass. Sanctity, the bowl for washing, there are purifications that happens in the outer court. It's not only place that your sanctification begins. There are sanctification, cleansings that happens under the light of the sun. Amen. You don't need menorah light for those purifications. You don't need shoe bread. You don't need the altar of incense for that. The dealings of those purifications are external. Those are the purifications that the sons of Levi. Are you understanding? The sons of Levi, not the sons of Aaron. Because part of the ministry of the messenger of the covenant, Malachi chapter 2 and 3, is that he will purify the sons of Levi, not the sons of Aaron, that they might offer sacrifices in righteousness. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Say amen. Are you blessed today? So the dealing of Christ begins from the outer court into the only place where the curriculum, not the milk, a man graduates out of the milk into the meat of the world, or comes from the light of the sun, comes into a dark place, comes into the night. Comes into the night and then is made to serve God by night. Serve God by night because the only place is a dark place. Hallelujah. The only place is what? It's a dark place. And then you have to live by the light. You can only see by the seven spirits of God. That means at that point you will no longer judge by the seeing of your eyes or the hearing of your ears, but you will lean. He said, you will lean on the same. He said, the spirit of the Lord is upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. He said, he will make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. Then he will not judge. He said, but righteousness shall he judge the poor. And with equity shall he judge the meek of the earth. He said, yes, righteousness shall he judge the poor, who will reprove with equity the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his might, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Now, all of the operation of the seven spirits happens in the holy place to bring to the place of quick understanding. Hallelujah. Now, the objective of the menorah is to shine light on the bread. On the bread in the tabernacle or in the sanctuary. Hallelujah. To shine bright so that a man can feed. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, the bread of God. Is that every priest, every son of the high priest that is other cannot offer unto God. But he can eat, he should eat the bread of his God, both of the holy and the most holy. So there is the bread of his God in the holy place, which is the meat of Christ. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Which a son should eat, and as he eats, he is changed. The hunchback and the dwarfness, the shortness in his height is being healed because he is eating of the bread of God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, the milk is the first secretion of the Christ. You see it in Corinthians chapter 1 and 2. That the milk is part. Milk is actually a fragment of the dealing of Christ to prepare you to come into the administration of meat. Are you understanding what I'm saying? To bring you to the place of the sanctuary where you can partake. Now, a person who doesn't have the spirit of wisdom and revelation cannot see bread. Are you understanding? That's why it is essential that when you begin to come into the night times, one of the things they begin to pray for, spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of it. Because the candle must be lit. Remember the days of Eli. Hallelujah. Do you remember the days of Eli? That the light was going out. Hallelujah. The light was what? The light was what? Going out in the temple. As the eyes of Aaron was dimming, the light in the temple also was dimming. And you see the next statement they said concerning Samuel. Samuel didn't know the word of God. Hadn't known God. And the word of God is not yet revealed to him. You see? So, why? The word of God couldn't be revealed because the light was going out. Do you understand what I'm saying? He says, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of God revealed unto him. Now, those things were tied. Now, that God called out to him doesn't mean that he now knew God or the word God. Now, it took the light for to be rekindled for the word of God to now be revealed in the holy place. Amen. Say amen. Shortly, oh Jesus, it was a sad experience. While that was still going on, I believe they cut short the progress of Samuel in the spirit. The Ophni and Phinehas carried the ark and went to battle. Ophni and what? Phinehas carried the ark and went to battle and went to Philistine. Then the Philistines captured the ark. So Samuel could not proceed beyond the veil. The light of the knowledge that Samuel used to could not proceed beyond the veil. And it was like that till the days of David. No wonder, but up until the days of Ezra, they said, for a long time, Israel have been without the true God. So they had a God of some sort. They had the knowledge of some sort. But the true God was missing. Because even though the ark of God was restored and David brought out some light, hallelujah, somewhere the bar of the true God, I love that word, the word Ezra said. He said, now for a long season, Israel had been. That means there was a time they had the true God. There was a time they had the true God. But for a long season, they had me. And I can tell you, people of God, for a long time, the church has been without the true God. For a long time, the church has been what? Without the true God. Now, there is the administration of Christ and the living Father. Even in the days of the apostles, they had to wait for the giving of the true God. They had to wait for the giving of the true God. Because he said to them that you may not behave yourself in the house of God, which is what? The church of the living God, the ground and the pillar of truth. So that church was not yet the church of the true God. He said to he said, you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. So they didn't progress beyond the living God. Pastor Tosi established this the last time he came around. Do you understand? They didn't progress beyond the knowledge of the living God. They were waiting and looking for what administrations were remaining. Up until the time that John, by an encounter, began to declare to them that the Son of God is come. The Son of God is what? Come. And has given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. So the coming of the Son of God was to come and give admittance, hallelujah, to sons of the sanctuary who had finished living curriculum, who were at the border of the veil, had received the tutelage of the Father and had become living sons, been exercised in fervent charity. They had finished charity, hallelujah, exercised in fervent charity, 1 Peter chapter 1. Hallelujah. They have been purified by obeying. They have been purified their souls by obeying the truth unto unfeigned love of the brethren. They had obeyed the curriculums of purifying their hearts from all malice, all guile, all evil speaking, all hypocrisies, all envies. As little children, they are living sons, coming as living stones onto a lively stone. Are you understanding? So that church arrived at a living estate. That church arrived what? At a living estate. But to be living alone is not sufficient to finish the journey of faith. Because God is much more than a living Father. He is what? A true God. He is what? A true God. Now, say amen. Are you blessed today? Say, our parents are coming and it's going to be quick. Today, next week, is going to be marathon. Hallelujah. And we must be exercised. Are you understanding? We must be exercised. Now, God will lay the precepts of these things and also the spirit of these things. But without the precepts of it, without understanding the knowledge of it, we will not be able to make use. We won't have skill in using the spirit. That's why we must open our hearts large to receive knowledge. Are you understanding? Sometimes some people are hugging. Am I a pastor? It's not whether you're a pastor. That is deception of Satan. Whether you're a cook, whether you're a organizer, whether you're a housewife, you need this knowledge. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. Whether you're a trader, you're a paper seller, you need this knowledge. You need this knowledge. It is not only for pastors. It's not for apostles. It's for the people that taught us were fishermen. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The people that taught us were what? So who is now deceiving you that it's not for you? The people that taught us. And they were unmistaken in the laying of line upon line, precept upon precept. Laying every sequence of the giving of the life of God. So if fishermen can understand this, you can understand it. I say if fishermen can understand these things, you can understand it. Amen. I said amen. Unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Unto you. is given to know the secrets, the mysteries of the kingdom. So I said, in the seasons of Christ, even though Christ housed much more than the living Father, but they couldn't see beyond the living God or the living Father. Are you understanding? Now, when they begin to say Son, every allocation of God produces a son of some sort. So, when they say son, you must know son in what capacity? Because you can be bettered of Christ. You're a son of some sort. Are you understanding? You're a son of some sort. When you are bettered of the living Father, you are a son of some sort. And when you are bettered of the true God, you are also a son of some sort. When you are bettered of eternal life, you are a son of some sort. Hallelujah. That's why there are lingua in the scriptures to differentiate a son from sons. So when you say sheep unto sheep, it's not because we want to be technical. It is lingua to describe the birth you have experienced. Are you understanding? Lamb unto lamb. It is lingua to describe the birth a son has experienced. If you like, choose to describe it by another thing. But it is safe for you to stay with what scripture uses to describe it. Do you understand? So avoid the deceptions of Satan. Are you understanding? Amen. So every allocation, when a man is fully exercised in it, he is born. He is born. He is what? Born. He is born. A seed. That allocation produces a seed inside of him. That seed generates a life and continues to generate a life. How many of us remember Genesis chapter 1? One of the things that God pronounced when he was creating the world was that earth should bring forth plants producing seed, fruit, whose seed is in it. Now, the seed in it is the blessings of perpetuity. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The seed in it, Genesis, and the head brought forth grass and herb, yielding seed after his kind. And the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw what is. So every seed produces after its kind. Now, the herbs add their seed. The trees yielding fruit add their seed. So there are different manner of seed. I was saying during the midweek, hallelujah, that there are different manner of seed. I was talking about Matthew 13, that God, say amen, God brought different administration of seed. The parable of the sower all of them were parables of the kingdom, hallelujah. But the parable of the sower, that the pastor maker was teaching on this earlier, so somehow it's not my revelation, it's from me. That the parable of the kingdom, the word of the kingdom was sown, but in the parable of the wheat of the wheat and tares, the seed were children of the kingdom. Now, by the time you see, go to 1 John, the seed that he's talking about is not the seed of the kingdom. The seed is an incorruptible seed. So at different administration seasons of growth, we receive different seeds inside of us. Are you understanding? And you must discern what seed you receive. Otherwise, you will receive a seed and you try not to sin, but you continue to sin because you have not received the seed that should make you not to sin. That should make you not to sin. Are you understanding? So, until the incorruptible seed is given, that incorruptible seed, it is in, Bible says, it is in the word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1. The incorruptible corrupted. And it is only, it is until after a man has been exercised in fervent charity or exercised, experienced the administration of the living God. Let's see First Peter. Amen. What's wrong with our projection? I know that Satan is, just don't focus on Satan, no. Just focus on what God is giving to us. Hallelujah. How many of us are blessed? Amen. I'm just watering the ground for mommy. Because when mommy comes, it's commandments and instructions and life lessons. Hallelujah. So, you know, some of us, we can talk Bible very well. But experience of life is still short. Are you understanding? Experience of what? The exercise of the conversation is still very short. But mommy is coming with a blessing, with full stature. Are you understanding? Mommy's what? I want you to be hungry. Hungry to suck spirits. I say spirits. Hungry to take spirits. Spirit. Spirit of life from mommy. In the name of the Lord Jesus. How many of you? Oh, Jesus. And mommy is entering into another phase. Say, mommy is entering into another phase. Say, mommy is entering into another phase. If you are wise, you'll be desiring the garment that she wants to do off. You understand? It's not the one that she wants to wear, the one that she has used. You know, there are some aloku that is good. One, there's no how you can be rich like an elder. You can't have what? Those rags is what me I want to collect. You know, you wear some pass me down clothes from your parents, from your elders, it will look new on you. Yes, those pass me down that I want to collect a lot. And mommy has a lot. See, mommy has a lot. Mommy has a lot of pass me down. Some people say, yeah, I don't want pass me down. I'm fresh. They usually pass me down in the spirit. That's how God deals with us. God chooses one. And then what? God chooses one and does what? Why did he tell Elijah, go and anoint Elisha? Is it God that gives the giver of the anointing? Why didn't he go and anoint them? Why did he tell Moses? Why didn't he tell Moses that I will take from the spirit upon you and then give to the 70? Why didn't he say, I'm the one that gave you. I'm going to give them, whether you are there or not. He said, I will take upon your spirit upon you. I'll give to Joshua. Why? God walks through pass me down. If you don't like pass me down, now your own problem with that too. Do you understand? Me, I like pass me down. Say me, I like pass me down. Sometimes they will pass you down clothes in the natural. They will use it to test you. And you, some of you, because of pride, you will refuse it. And then you will lose actual garments in the spirit. Yes. You lose actual garments in the spirit because you are too haughty for that spirit. That spirit will just resist you. Say, no. Even if I have 10,000 new clothes, my parents give me, pass me down, I'll go wear them. I'll go wear them until that spirit rests upon me. Do you understand it? Joyfully, gladly, because some things they day inside those things. I said, things they day inside those things. Amen. Say amen. Are you blessed today? Where was I? So, say amen. I said, there are different seeds and different administration. A man cannot receive all the old seed of the kingdom at once. Just as you cannot exhaust all the sperm in a man at once. A man is a house of seed. That you get pregnant doesn't mean that there's still no seed remaining. It's still remaining. Yoruba say, oku, oku, no, iboro. He remained. I love T.D. Jakes. He said, when God blesses you once, you are bad for life. He was talking about Abraham. That God just needs to bless you once. Once. Isaac came. But after that one, six, Keturah.
Keturah thinks that this man is just, let me just manage him small and let my children just collect inheritance. Look at her. Everything I've not done in my life, you will do. Amen. You think because he has born one only, he doesn't have so much strength again, and he will just go easy, and you don't know that Babani Babande. He has met with the living God. The man is alive. The man is what? Alive. All his dead parts have come alive. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Sorry. Amen. There's no way God will bless, will make you living in the spirit. You will be living in the natural. You know, the record concerning Abraham, said the record is that God is a God of the living. So God made him alive so much in the spirit, in his soul, that his body had to respond. His body was already dead. Some of you, your bodies are not even dead yet. Then you believe you cannot receive healing. You see, healing is children's bread. New body is the heritage of sons who come to life. So if your body is dying, it may be one disease or the other, and God is now giving you life, quickening life, teaching you the doctrine of the living God. You now tell you that even Job, who was in the Old Testament, worms were eating him alive like this. As he was literally decaying alive. Yet, he said, even though worms eat me alive, yet with my eyes will I behold him. Not with the eyes of another, because I know my Redeemer lives. And he was quickened. The way that he said, it was not healing. God was just gisting with him. I said, God was what? God was gisting. God will gist with many of us this week. I said, God will gist with many of us. Hiya! God cannot gist with you and you now remain dead. How? Jesus, I said, Jesus, say, come, let us reason together. Is that not what? Say, come. So, what we are doing this week, this season, is that we are reasoning with God. We are doing what? We are reasoning with God. 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 And as we are reasoning with God, you will be made alive. Sins will depart. He said, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins. So, look. You just need to reason with God. As you are, you know, say, reason with God. That means they will raise you as God reasons. They will make you to see what God is saying. They will make you to think what God is saying. He said, Can you see? Then, as you do see, say, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be what? White as snow. And though they be as what? Red like crimson, they shall be what? As wool. God wants to reason with us. Idaroro, we are reasoning together with Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh Lord Jesus. Don't worry. If you want to reason in Yoruba, there are Yoruba people that will reason with us. So that God can reason with us in any language. That's why we read in Psalm 19. It said there's no language or speech where there's no language where the speech is not heard. Wheresoever, and God will raise us to that capacity. Very soon, we'll be translated in all languages of the earth. Very, very soon, in all languages of the earth, we will be discussing reasoning with God so that all men can see the Son. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Now, I said, the true God did not appear until the Son came and said, declared him. Said, declared him. The Son began the declaration of the true God by giving the understanding of the true God. By giving a what? That is the true Son of God. Now, a person can know the living Son of God. Now, the exercise of the living Son of God, amen, amen, like we have been shown by our parents, is the showing of the judgments of the Father. Not just the showing of the judgment, then the releasing of the administration over a life to supervise a process where they will remove all malice, all guile, all hypocrisy, all evil speaking, so that that person, through the exercise of fervent charity, through the exercise of fervent charity, can come to a place where he is born of the Word of God. Are you understanding? Through the exercise of fervent charity, amen. Now, say amen. Say amen. Oh Lord, thank you. We are here for the best times of our life. We are here for what? Hallelujah. Amen. I'm feeling a caution to stay on the transition from the knowledge of the living God. Because a person to come to Zion, say we have come to Mount Zion. It's not just Zion. To arrive at Zion is to arrive at Christ, the base of Zion. But to learn the Father is to mount up. That's why I said to mount up. Say mount up. Say mount up. Say mount up. The learning of the living God is climbing Zion. Is what? Is ascending Zion. The learning of the living God is when you are climbing. How many of you have climbed? Okay, like Erijesha or any of these. Okay, you have gone to pray on a mountain. You know that climbing is not easy. Climbing is not easy. It will expire your strength. It what? Expire your strength, especially if the is very steep. Zion is the hill of the Lord is a hill of many peaks, as the hill of Bashan. Hallelujah. So there are peaks. Say peaks. There are peaks that a soul is exercised when he is ascending Zion. When he's ascending Zion, there are peaks that a soul is exercised in to be able to ascend Zion. But now we'll consider the book of Isaiah. We will see that the promise is that, O Zion, that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into. Get thee up, be not afraid. Get thee up, be not afraid. I say unto the city of Judah, behold your God. 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 Zion, O Zion, that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings. Get thee up, be not afraid. Get thee up, be not afraid. I say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold your God. Behold your God.
Do you understand why I sang that song? You must know the reason for coming to the peak of Zion. You cannot see God. Are you understanding? You cannot. It is not at Zion that you learn God. You must ascend to the peak of Zion to be able to see God. Are you understanding? So anyone, if you arrive at Christ, you can't learn God yet. You have to receive the dealings of the living Father, or ascend to the peak of Zion, or ascend to Mount Zion. Come to the city of the living God to be able to receive the learning of the true God. Are you understand? So the essence. So you now understand Hebrews chapter 12 very well now. The essence where Paul said, we have come to the city of the living, we have come unto Zion, to the innumerable company of angels, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the church of the firstborn, to God the judge of all. The reason he's saying that we have come to that place, that it is time to seek the true God. It is time to see God. It is time to receive the learnings of the Son who speaketh from heavens. Hallelujah. The essence of ascension is not to stay there. Because you can stay on Mount Zion and say, "Whoa, we have arrived. We have arrived. We have arrived." But Zion is not your destiny. You are not to be at ease in Zion. Whether at the base or on top. No, you have to continue to press. Until you see God. Until you do what? See God. Until you are able to see God. Until you are able to behold the true God. Or you are able to see his Son, in whom all the things of the true God is couched. Hallelujah. Amen. Say amen. Say amen. Say amen. Say amen. Say amen. Say I will see God. Say I will see God. I will see the true God. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm just waiting our appetites to stir up our desire. To desire something. You see, this feast of the Lord is to see God. This feast of the Lord is what? To see God. To see God. To see God. To see God. To know him. This feast of the Lord, that's what this feast of the Lord is for. To To be young, come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, the God, the church, judge of all. Hallelujah. And to the spirit of men, just men made perfect. Verse 24 and 25. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Amen. These are operations that operate. These are
administrations that occur upon the Mount of Zion to people who are being exercised under the administration of the Living Father, to see God. So to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and the blood of the sprinkling that speaketh better things than of Abel. Verse 25, quickly. 25. And then that's it. See that ye refuse not him that what? See that what? See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. Because we have come to the Mount of Zion, don't refuse who is speaking. Remember Hebrews chapter 3. Chapter 3 of this Hebrew. He said that today if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. As our fathers hardened in the day of provocation, when they tried him and saw his works. But with many of them, he was not well pleased. Are you understand it? Don't harden your hearts. Don't harden your hearts. He said, if you hear his voice, can you pray today that Lord, as you speak, I will hear your voice. My ears will not be deaf to your voice. I won't be deaf to your voice. My ears will hear, my eyes will see. Do you understand what I'm saying? My ears will hear, my what? Eyes will see. In the name of the Lord Jesus. My ears will hear, my eyes will see. Because I must receive the learnings of the true God. So today, go back to chapter 12. Amen. 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 So see that you receive it not, for if they escape not, who refuse him that speak on earth? Much more shall we not escape if we turn away from either what? So, that means that we have come to the Mount of Zion doesn't mean that we have fully escaped. Are you understanding? That we have just, remember where we are coming from. He said, because, look at, he said, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. Then everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Call to remembrance, 32. Call to remembrance the former days in the which after you were illuminated. So, this is after that light came to you. You know, we talked about Christ. After Christ came, and then the eyes, the blindness has been healed. Amen. Blindness has been healed. Then light came. How many of us followed all that series? After blindness has been healed, then light came. Did I say that? Look at after light came to you. In former days, after you were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of affliction. So light is not to make you go and sit down cross leg. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Light is not what? It's not to make you cross leg and sit down be sipping juice and criticizing other churches. Say, these people are preaching wrong. It's to fight a fight of affliction. Are you understanding? The bringing in of light is for warfare. It's to warfare. It's to fight against darkness. He said, God to remember the former days in which after you were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock. Do you understand it? A gazing stock. A scene of ridicule. Partly while you were made a gazing stock by both reproaches and afflictions. That means an afflictions, you know, for when they pass by, people must look at you. That reproach and affliction, your own catch attention. Do you understand? It's not just something they will pass by and they will not notice. They will say, gazing stock. Have you ever been on the road and everybody stops and starts looking at you? And they are not looking at you for joy. They are looking at you because of reproaches. Because of afflictions. See that? Partly because, that is what light brings. When light comes, fight begins. fight begins. Because Satan will bring contradictions in the life that seems as if God is not with you, but you appreciate him. Because Bible says that, say, while the outward man perisheth, the inward man is being renewed day by day. He said, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he said, we have this treasure. What is the treasure? The light that of the knowledge of God that shines in the face of Jesus. He said, we have that measure, that treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So this, we are pressed on every side. We are pressed on every side. So these people have endured those contradictions. Go back to Hebrews chapter 10 quickly. Sorry. Okay, let me say a little. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. He said, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. He said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Verse 9, 10. Quickly. He said, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed, always bearing about in our body the dying of the Lord. That it is light that makes this thing happen. The light that is emanating from the face of Jesus Christ. Are you understanding? The light that is emanating from is what threw them into these contradictions. And why is it so that death can die and then life can flourish? He said, always bearing about in our bodies the dying of the Lord, that the life also of Jesus may be manifest in our bodies. So the Hebrew church had endured contradictions or a great fight of afflictions. They were made a grazing stock by affliction, by reproaches of men. If you have not been reproached for Jesus' sake, get ready. Get ready. Because contradictions, afflictions will come. Hallelujah. He said, because those are our entrances. Those are our administration for entrance into the kingdom. He said, partly why you became a companion. I said, okay. He said, partly why you are made companions, then grazing stocks by reproach, cheese and afflictions, and partly why you became companions of them. So, I love it. Partly. So, it is not fully. So, partly you were made a grazing stock. Then partly you became companions of them that were so used. So, sometimes it's not happening to you. It is happening to those who are around you. Then you must exercise charity. And stay with them. And identify with them in their affliction. As being bound together with them. Because sometimes it is not you that are experiencing the reproach or the affliction yourself, but they will pack you together. Say, you became companions of them that we are so used. So it is not time that, you know, some people, Jesus, when Jesus was experiencing his disciples, just say, I didn't know him. Peter said, in fact, if I have never seen him before in my life. Some people deny in the season of your affliction. Some people deny in the season. It's a blessedness when we fellowship together. He said, rejoice with them that rejoice. He said, we weep with them that weep. Nothing must break the bond of brotherhood that we share. Nothing. Nothing must break it. Now, he said, partly you became companions of them that were so used. Verse 34. Amen. He said, for ye had compassion on me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. That means knowing in yourself that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. If it is substance, then it's no more hope. If it is substance, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, then it is no more so. Something had been concrete inside of them. It is no longer a vague expectation. It is something that has been substantiated on their within. So they can take joyfully the spoiling of their goods. Things that were God or good, or things that men called good, they are taking these things. Yet, Paul was now saying to them, in spite of all these things that you have been through, don't let Satan cheat you. Don't let what? Satan cheat you. Because you can exercise of these virtues for the purification of your soul. Yet, you are not able to see God. You are not able to see the true God. You have seen some administrations of the Father, but you are not able to perceive fully what is to be given to the hand that a soul will lay hold on eternal life. Because they were about going back. Look at verse 35 quickly. Quickly. I'm already done. He said, cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Which what? Which has great recompense of reward. For what? Verse 36. He said, for ye have need of patience. As ye need near. Tell me what patience a man that took joyfully the spoiling of his good didn't have. Tell me. Will you tell me that man is not patient? I mean, when they were spoiling his good, he was joyful, man. He took it joyfully. When he was going through afflictions and reproaches, he was taking it joyfully. But he said, you still need patience. So you see that there are dealings of these things that we have not yet. Thank God for how far God has brought us. But there are still places where we have not been baptized into. Say, you have need of patience. After that, you have done the will of God to enter into the promise, to receive the promise. What is the promise? This is the promise he promised Titus chapter 1 before, even eternal life. Hallelujah. Say amen.
We trust that this message has been a source of blessing to you. For a wealth of similar messages, please visit our website at www.ikorodu.nlwc.church or feel free to contact us at 0703-576-0085. You can also reach out to us via WhatsApp at the same number. May God's blessings continue to abound in your life.